Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition right smack dab in the middle of the week of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us today. IU wins as expected very easily. Still in these early season games, even it may not be the most competitive opponent for the Hoosiers, there's a lot to talk about because you may not be necessarily looking at some key moments late in the game about how the team executed, but there's plenty to break down and evaluate. And really, I thought last night, despite the fact Chicago State is one of, I would say, the worst Division I basketball teams out there, and the rankings and other statistical-based things would pretty much agree with that. Still, Indiana did some really good things for the first official game of the season, and from here, it gets a lot more challenging. Montana State coming up in just a couple days, so Indiana will take on a team that is projected to be at the top of their conference and a very solid mid-major program, and then, of course, after that, it's the real first test of the year, and thankfully it's at home for Indiana. Marquette next Wednesday night, 1 week from today. If you want to talk about starts to the season, that's the big one for Indiana, the real gauge for the Hoosiers early on. Romeo, a good night last night, a great first half. Yeah, I know he had 17 first-half points. He only had 19 total in the game, scoring only two in the second half. But most importantly, did you see how he got his night started? It was passing the ball. It was moving the ball. It was forwarding the ball up the floor. It was being a good teammate, all things that we've seen of Romeo for so long. And it looked like it was going to be a half where Romeo might be very involved in the offense and passing the ball and finding the open teammate. And after a number of passes and great plays, what do you know? He began to fill it up himself. I think he had 11 points in a row at one point. And we can all recount, I'm sure, games in Romeo's high school career where if he hits that first shot or if he makes a big play and finishes with a dunk early in a game, it almost seemed like it gave his skills and his abilities extra confidence. And that would be when he went on to have some of his biggest nights statistical-wise. And that's exactly what happened with that baseline jumper last night. He said that Rick Bozich actually asked him after the game in the press conference about what got him going and that jumper. He said seeing it go through the net. So a lot of interesting things to discuss from last night's game. A win for Indiana over Chicago State. No surprises with that. And college basketball as a whole, I don't think I turned IU Duke or Duke, excuse me, I turned Duke Kentucky on expecting to see just a whale of an early season basketball game. I would have predicted Duke to win, but in a fairly competitive game. If Duke won by 5 or 10 or even 12 points, I probably wouldn't have thought much about it. I think Duke, with their freshmen, returning players, and love Coach K, I think they've got a great program, and that would be my preseason pick to win it. I don't know that anyone saw the performance of Duke coming that they had last night, saw that final score, that halftime score, the margin they beat Kentucky. What a Duke team, and what a way to start the season with a win over Kentucky. They essentially beat Kentucky as bad or worse than they beat some of the Canadian teams they played in the exhibition over the summer, or as bad as what they'll beat some of their other non-conference opponents that are far less of programs than Kentucky. And don't misunderstand me here for a moment. I'm not looking at this thing through lenses against Kentucky. I think they'll go on to have a terrific season, a great coach, a great program, a lot of young players, a very good team. Kentucky will be, I think, a top five basketball team this season. But Duke has that type of talent. And we've talked a lot about the freshman class with Romeo because you do feel like you know these guys a lot more, the names at Duke and North Carolina and some of the other top programs in the country that very likely will just be there for one season as well. And a lot of talent. And Duke, obviously, with Zion Williamson, is just a man-child. There was a clip before the game or maybe during the game of the team practicing in Indianapolis. He goes up for a dunk and essentially left with his foot not touching the free throw line, skying through the air. Just a man-child of a player. R.J. Barrett, they complement each other so well. Duke, it's hard to believe. It's just hard to see who's going to beat them, and I'm sure that they'll lose. I mean, I said the same thing last year. Duke looked really good early on, but it's really, really hard to see who's going to beat this team. R.J. Barrett with comments yesterday that Duke not only wants to win a national championship and be a great college basketball team, but they want to be the best college basketball team ever. I'm not at all ready to say they can accomplish that, but I am ready to say that they are going to be a very, very difficult out this season. And barring injuries and barring any unforeseen circumstances, it would be really hard to bet against Duke with what we saw last night in that game against Kentucky. But summarizing everything, IU's win, Duke's blowout victory, college basketball is here. And from this point, it moves really quick. Indiana's back at it on Friday. There are a lot of other big college basketball games to start the season. As I was watching the Duke-Kentucky game last night, they were advertising Feast Week on ESPN, which is always a great time to really get a gauge for the college basketball season. Over the holidays, maybe your work schedule slows down a little bit, and all the great games and events and, you know, all-day basketball during some of those holiday periods to watch and kind of officially get the season kicked off. So we are almost to that point. I know it seems like just a few days ago, really, it was back in September, and we were wishing for Hoosier hysteria. But once it gets here, it moves quick, and so we're here, and let's enjoy it and see what this Indiana team can do. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for today's show. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I understand there was a huge crowd at Hoopsters last night for the IU game there with on Big Ten Network with a lot of great fans and food and drinks and much more. We'll tell you about all the news of the day coming up here in just a few moments. We'll recap the IU game in more detail. I'll tell you about some of the obvious things that I thought went well for Indiana and a couple concerning things to watch in the Friday game, in the game next Wednesday against Marquette. Also, Rick Bozich with a great column today about Romeo Langford, comparing his first official game in the regular season to some of the other great Hoosiers over the years. We'll talk about that and more coming up in the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Later in the program, Jeff Rabjohns is out today. That means we'll have Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com. Ken and I will go through just about everything that happened last night with IU in college basketball. We'll also look ahead to Montana State, a much better opponent, non-conference game for Indiana, much more challenging team. I think Indiana will go from Southern Indiana, who's a great D2 team, to Chicago State, who's at the bottom of the Division I conference, to Montana State, who, again, I think will have and is projected to have a really good season at their respective level and in their respective conference. We'll talk about that with Ken as well. Later in the program, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will be with me. With Greg, we'll talk local sports headlines here in Southern Indiana. High school football is over. I want to do a quick recap of that. Providence gets beat in just a tough deal in the sectional championship game. Very, very close the Pioneers were, but just a little short. And I talk about college basketball being here. High school basketball is here. The girls' season is getting full into swing. Boys' teams, practices, tryouts, early season stuff officially underway. Most teams have had 2 or 3 days of practice going into this Wednesday. And before you know it, it'll be time for scrimmages. I know that most teams scrimmage a week from this Saturday. Not all, but most, on that Saturday. And then, of course, that next Monday, we get started with some early season regular games before the Thanksgiving holiday, and then you've got some big games right after Thanksgiving as well. So we are up on just the best time of the year. The holiday season is around the corner. Basketball season is here. It's only going to pick up intensity over the next few weeks. And then once it does that for 2, 3, 4 months, we are solid basketball, which is absolutely heaven given our location here in Indiana, specifically in southern Indiana. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. These are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Last night, Romeo Langford, 17 points in the first half. I mentioned even before the 17 points, he really was moving and passing the ball well. Only 2 points in the second half. He had 19 total points in the game. Free throws, that's going to be one of my concerns for this Indiana team. Free throws, another struggling performance for Romeo. He was 5 of 11. And I think if you had to pick one part of Romeo's game that you would love to see be at a higher level, be better, it would probably be free throws. If you think back to some of the key high school games, some of the misses and free throws that he had, of course, a couple in the exhibition game the other night, and definitely needs some work on his free throws with 5 of 11 shooting last night in that contest against Chicago State. The other thing with Romeo, with how well he gets to the basket and can finish at the rim and some of the unbelievable moves that he makes, he's going to get a lot of and-one opportunities. He had multiple and-one opportunities last night that he didn't capitalize, or not even and-one opportunities, but two free throws when he's hacked on his way to the basket, making a great move and doesn't finish because he got fouled. He's got to be able to go to the line and make those. And that obviously is a key thing that I can guarantee you he is putting at the top of his list to work on this season. But overall, just a tremendous performance for Romeo Langford. He only had one turnover. I know that was interesting to see as well after having 5 in the exhibition game against Southern Indiana. Looked a little out of sync at times, but in the last night, back to the Romeo we know. He also had 3 assists to complete his stat line as well. 11 points in a row at one point for Romeo, and the crazy thing is he could have scored a couple more during that stretch had he connected on some free throws. Other things last night for Indiana that stood out, Evan Fitzner, he is going to be, this is a not a bold prediction at this point, he's just going to be a perfect fit for Indiana. If you could craft a player in the offseason to help IU based on what you know about last year and based on what you know about who's returning and based on Romeo Langford and some of the other recruits and their strengths coming in, if you could craft the perfect player to fill the needs that IU has with three-point shooting to increase that percentage, that could play a little bit inside, could play inside out, could also grab some rebounds, had some length for defensive purposes, it would probably be a very similar player of similar build to Evan Fitzner. And he had 14 points last night, 6 rebounds, 1 block. He's got a very high IQ of the game of basketball. It's clear that he's going to start or come right off the bench as 6th man. Who knows how this rotation is going to change or be adjusted as we move forward into some of these games. But Evan Fitzner, what an exciting addition for Indiana. And on top of everything else, he's experienced. He's played in the NCAA tournament. He's got some experiences that even returning players that will be counted on IU's roster don't have because they didn't make the tournament. They haven't been in some of those situations. They haven't necessarily played for conference championships. Fitzner has done that, and I can tell you just from a couple interactions that I've had with him at some of the media availabilities, especially dating back to when we got some one-on-one opportunities with him at Media Day back in September. Very bright guy, on and off the floor. I think he will just have a tremendous season. There's only one downside that I can see with Evan Fitzner so far, maybe two, but one is he's only going to be there for 1 year. The other is that obviously some of the young guys, that other freshmen, and you could make this argument for Romeo's case as well, he'll take some time from another freshman that maybe will be counted up on more down the road over the next 2, 3, 4 years as opposed to just being there 1 year. But obviously he's a huge piece with Romeo. Those two guys for the year that they are with the IU program are going to help this program in just major, major ways. I don't think there's any question about that. If you want to talk about another, well, let me give one more positive last night. I mentioned how Romeo moved the ball, passed the ball before he scored a lot of his points, really got in a rhythm, it seemed. I thought ball movement for this Indiana team was really good last night as well. Interesting enough, Alex Bozich and Inside the Hall wrote that as the headline in their notebook about the game last night. But Indiana, at times in recent years, was just stagnant. And I know it's early. I know it's a lot easier to move the ball and do what you want to do against a team at the bottom of Division I basketball like Chicago State. But Indiana, I thought, really looks crisp in moving that ball around on offense and getting it where it needs to go and finding the open man and sharing the ball. And a lot of that has to do with Robert Phinisee. And we'll see how he and Devontae Green work together at the same time or split time when one is in, one is out. But another positive, I thought, ball movement. Defense is good, can get better for Indiana. I do think they're farther along for the first regular season game than what they were a year ago, for sure. But there's obviously some improvements in rotations and things with that that definitely will need to be made for the Big Ten season coming up, and even some of these other big non-conference games as well. Free throw shooting as a team. I mentioned Romeo. That's another concern for this team. You get in tight games. You get in Big Ten conference games. You get into the NCAA tournament, you can't have a key player 5 of 11, and you can't have a team shooting free throws what it did last night or in the exhibition game against Southern Indiana. And then one other thing is turnovers, 13 against Chicago State, 13 against a lower-level D1 team, a little much as well. Rick Bozich last night had a column about Romeo Langford, of course, comparing him to some of the other Hoosier greats and how they did in their first official game to start the season in an IU uniform. Probably no one will ever do better than what Eric Gordon did. I had forgotten about that. He had 33 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. That was 11 seasons ago, which that is crazy that Eric Gordon was a freshman in his 1 year at Indiana 11 seasons ago. That came in a game to start the season against Chattanooga. Rick goes on to write that Isaiah Thomas, he didn't score 33 in his first game at Indiana. Cody Zeller, his first game as a freshman, he had 16 points. Victor Oladipo, he had 5 points in his first game for Indiana. George McGinnis had 20, but he was a sophomore when he made his debut for IU. So 19 for Langford. He's right there with some of the great IU basketball players as they have as they were coming into the program as well, but definitely an interesting look from Rick Bozich last night comparing Romeo and his performance to some of the other incoming big IU guys, big recruits that have had a lot of fanfare behind him. Although, at least from our area, and I think this is true beyond New Albany, Jeffersonville, Clark Floyd counties, into southern Indiana, across the state of Indiana as well, I don't know that there's ever been a recruit, and I'm not sure that there ever will be a recruit with the fanfare coming into the freshman season that Romeo Langford had. So interesting stuff from IU's game last night. Again, you don't want to get too excited because it's Chicago State. Hearing their coach talk last night and about his plans for the program, you got to remember he was hired, what did I say, August 7th or August 10th was his hire date. We talked about that yesterday on the program. So obviously, in addition to being a new coach, you're a new coach that didn't have near the full offseason, missing, what, 3 or 4 months from when Chicago State would have played their last regular or their last conference tournament game, I guess, a year ago before taking over the job. But you don't want to get too excited over a game like that. But there's nothing wrong with breaking it down and looking at some of the specific things like the defense and like ball movement and like individual performances and shot selection and things like that to get a gauge on this team early on. Now, the interesting thing is you go from Chicago State, you take that next step, and it's a big step up that stair to Montana State. I think it'll be much more of a challenge. They'll be much more prepared defensively to guard Indiana. And then, of course, the huge step up is a week from today, a week from tonight, 8:30, a primetime game, Indiana's first of the year, when they host Marquette. I cannot tell you how excited I am to see how Indiana handles Marquette, handles their defense. They've got some potent offensive guys as well. It will be fun to watch. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. That's a look at the IU game last night. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday program. Ken Bykoff replaces Jeff Rabjohns. In the next segment, we'll recap everything to do with IU's game last night. We'll talk more about Romeo's performance. We'll get Ken's thoughts on what Indiana very early on, some keys that they need to work on. I mentioned free throw shooting. I mentioned defense and turnovers. We'll see what Ken has. And then later, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he is with us. I want to talk some high school football to close things out. Briefly, I want to talk some high school basketball as well. Stay with us for that and more. Basketball season is here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday show. Ken Bykoff, my great friend from Pigs.com, is with us in lieu of Jeff Rabjohns, who is out today. Ken, I gave a full rundown on the IU game, the good, the bad, and what's next for this Indiana team in the first segment. Talked about Romeo some, talked about what the team did well. Really enjoy watching Evan Fitzner play and the addition that he is and I think will be for this team. I'm curious, when you look back at Chicago State, you don't want to get too high, too low, given it's a lackluster Division I opponent, to be kind about it. But what were some of the highlights from the night, from the win for you, seeing IU back out on the court in an official game?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the highlight for the season so far in just the exhibition game and in the Chicago State game, without question to me, has been Rob Phinisee. You know, everybody understood how good Romeo Langford is. They knew that he was going to be able to step in and make an immediate impact. But Phinisee has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, he's a kid that is just being very disruptive on the defensive end. He has quick hands. He had 5 steals last night, had 5 assists to go along with only 2 turnovers. He didn't score a ton, but, boy, he created things for his teammates. He got to the basket. And I know that after the game, Archie Miller wasn't thrilled with Indiana's defense, felt they could have been tougher, been a little more consistent from possession to possession. But my takeaway on it is I really like the way Indiana used its hands on defense. I thought it did a great job of, you know, trying to not necessarily block shots, but certainly to disrupt shots by just kind of jumping straight up and not kind of swinging for to try to block shots. That keeps you out of foul trouble. I thought Evan Fitzner did a great job with that. And just the way Indiana was disruptive in the passing lanes. Yes, it's Chicago State, and so that really is, you take that with a grain of salt because that is a program that really struggles just about every year. But those little skills, like just having your hands where they're supposed to be, that's going to be the same no matter what the opponent is, so, you know, you would hope. And that's what I really took away. And it just, again, Rob Phinisee and his hustle on the floor, I've really been impressed with that kid. And you look at what he brings to the floor, and you start to combine that with guys like Al Dam and Devontae Green, and all of a sudden Indiana's backcourt has a number of guys who can create off the dribble, who can make an impact defensively, and just have quickness that few teams can match.
Ken, very interesting on Rob Phinisee, some of your comments. You know, when he committed to Indiana, obviously being from the Lafayette area, that's big because of the Purdue rivalry. Indiana hasn't really had much of a recruiting stake in Lafayette for a number of years. I knew right away from seeing him, I can date all the way back to his sophomore year of high school when I first saw him, that he was going to be, or had a chance at least to be a very good Division I basketball player at some point in his career. If you had told me Rob Phinisee committed to IU, Purdue, wherever, as a sophomore in high school, and 5 years, 4 years down the line, he's a sophomore, he's a junior, he's a senior, he's having a great career, great leadership, putting up good numbers, distributing the basketball, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. If you told me Rob Phinisee as a freshman is starting at a Big Ten school and is one of the top players, is one of the real pleasant surprises so far this season, I'm not sure that I would have said, I think he's ready to play as a freshman. But thinking ahead for a moment, if he's doing what he's doing now, and I know he's had some opportunities because of injuries that he may have not gotten had Devontae Green, Al Durham, some of the other guards been healthy and ready to go these first few games, exhibition and Chicago State. But can you imagine a Robert Phinisee as a senior guard, as a junior guard at Indiana in the Big Ten Conference with what he can do on defense, his ability to be a true point guard? I mean, we're talking about a guy that could be an all-league type player and maybe work himself into some opportunities at the next level more than what people initially thought.
Well, you know, certainly, you know, you're not expecting him to come out and make it. You mentioned the injuries. That definitely gives him more of an opportunity to play, certainly the level of competition. You want to see him be able to do what he's done in those, in that exhibition game and against Chicago State versus higher level of opponents. But these early games, I really watch skills. And you look at him and you think to yourself, this is a kid who could be, he's going to be, you know, he's likely to be a four-year player. I don't immediately get that, you know, two and done kind of vibe off of him. But he's somebody I think that can be an anchor and a foundation piece for this team. And just with his energy on defense, the way that he hustles after balls. He had a play yesterday where he saved the ball, pure hustle play, to save a ball going out of bounds, kind of threw it back. It bounced off a Chicago State player. They ended up, Indiana got the ball. It was just a straight hustle play. And there are so many times that when you see guys on the court that they just stand out because of their effort. And it was a pure effort play on Phinisee's part. And that's the kind of thing that you can develop that over time. But if you have that at very early in your career, that means that you had it in high school and you recognize the importance of that to your game. And so that kind of thing is what is intriguing to me. It's just the pure effort that he brings to the floor, and the skills can be polished over time. But I certainly do like that skill set that I see early on.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, my guest. We're talking IU's win. Some of the highlights to start over Chicago State last night. Ken, free throw shooting, defense a lot better, but there's still room for improvement. And turnovers, I hate to see 13 against the team, especially like Chicago State. Those were a couple concerns. Defense, again, much farther along than what they were a year ago at this time. I think that's something that can be worked out, and by the time you get deep into the schedule or conference play, you got this could be a very good defensive team. I don't think we could have said that a year ago or really any of the past recent seasons. Your take on those topics and any other concerns early that you want to watch develop and see how they go from here with this IU team?
Well, you know, it's something that Kelvin Sampson used to say, and I know he's a dirty word around Bloomington, but Kelvin Sampson used to say you don't play February basketball in November. And to me, that is very much so what we've seen out of this team in those 13 turnovers. You know, a couple of them were just guys not used to playing with one another and not knowing where they're going to be. And so those early turnovers, they would bother me more if they weren't countered by 20 assists. I mean, they really did a good job of distributing the ball. And so the turnovers are something to watch, but they're not cause for concern yet. Same thing with the three-point shooting. They shot 50% in the exhibition game. I think they were just 33% yesterday. So you're looking for consistency there. Defense, you're looking for consistency as well. And those are the little areas where early on you want to make sure that they find that consistency. If you look at the free throws, they did not have a great free throw shooting night. I think they went 19 of 33. Deron Davis, unquestionably, I mean, each one of his free throws were ugly. I mean, just flat ugly. And he's got to get better in that area if he's going to be able to contribute on the floor late in games. You start to press a little bit. I don't think Romeo is a guy who's going to have a lot of 5 of 11s from the free throw line going forward, especially he can't because he's going to be going to the line a lot. he's not a guy who historically has struggled from the line. So it's certainly a reason to raise an eyebrow. It's certainly something to keep an eye on. And, you know, those defensive lapses that you mentioned, again, it's early in the season, a lot of guys playing together. But I also think it gives a very nice focus for this coaching staff to really be able to have something like that to really focus on and make sure that these guys early in the season don't get big heads. You won by 49, but there is still a lot that you can improve. And I think that that's going to be the key in the lessons going forward is just earning that time playing next to one another and just finding consistency on the court.
I mentioned this in the first segment, and I'll mention it again with you and get your take on it. But free throw shooting as a team can get better. We just talked about that. Free throw shooting specifically with Romeo Langford needs to get better as well, because think of all the opportunities, and it was a handful last night, but think about all the opportunities with his great moves and ability to drive and attack and get to the rim that he's going to have for an and one, for 3 points the old-fashioned way, or for two free throws as he's fouled going to the hoop. If he can knock that free throw down much more consistently than 5 of 11 or what he did in the exhibition game, I forget the exact numbers. I know it wasn't great. He's going to be able to score a lot more points. And in some of these key games, like Marquette is the one I'm thinking of coming up first and foremost, those are going to be very, very important in these tougher games.
Yeah, you know, I think he went 7 of 9 in the exhibition game, and that wasn't too bad. 5 of 11 isn't great. And again, if this was something that had been an issue with him in high school, it would be far more of a concern. You know, anybody can have an off night. He still is waiting to make his first three-pointer in an IU uniform, and that, I think, is interesting because he went 0 for 5. He's 0 for 5. He missed both of his shots in an exhibition game, all three of his shots yesterday. And so to a certain extent, some of those are just seeing shots go down in game, and it'll come. You know, again, he's a guy that can knock down shots, never has a history of struggling from the free throw line. So the key is you want to make sure that you do start making some of those in games, because you don't want it to become a mental thing. We've all seen that. And it becomes contagious on a team to where if a guy's missing free throws, the next guy kind of feels a bit more pressure to knock his shot down. He starts thinking about it more, and it can kind of snowball. So certainly that's going to be something we're going to be waiting to see against Montana State on Friday, is just not just Romeo, but everybody knocking down those free throws. Like you said, Romeo left a lot of points on the floor by missing some of those shots and, you know, from the line, from some open looks from three-point range. And, you know, he did just have 2 points in the second half. Indiana obviously was cruising. So, you know, he may have let off the gas a little bit. He's just a guy who the game looks very easy to him, and I don't think that it's a matter of him not playing hard. But any freshman, you just want to see consistency from him, and I think that that's the biggest thing going forward, is just making sure that we get the consistency that we want out of Romeo.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, is my guest. We're talking IU basketball and their win last night over Chicago State. You mentioned the next game, Montana State. I know a lot of people are already looking 7 days ahead to the Marquette game, 8:30 a week from today. But Montana State will be a definite step up. Mike Pegram talked a little bit about them and how the Chicago State game would really be a good warm-up, kind of a stair step for the next few games. Montana State, a much different team from Chicago State.
Yeah, Chicago State is kind of a glorified exhibition game, to be quite honest with you. And it's I felt bad for the players and coaches on that team yesterday, because it's not their fault. The institution isn't financially sound. They don't give a lot of support to that basketball program. It's a program that I covered 20 years ago when I was covering them with the Mid-Continent Conference when I worked for Basketball News. And it's just a program that's always had a lot of problems. They went 3-29 last year. They don't have a lot of financial. So, again, it's a program that is Division I, but it is barely a Division I program. Montana State's different. You know, now, they lost by 30 last night. It was 101-71. They lost to Utah State. Just got hammered on the boards. Just about 2-1. Gave up 16 offensive rebounds. But they are a team that has decent size. They aren't like some of the other mid-majors that you play that have just a bunch of small guys that doesn't allow a team from the Big Ten to play their normal kind of game. They're going to be matching up size for size, so it's going to be a step up. But again, I think Indiana's guards just have the kind of quickness and the ability to create off the dribble that's going to allowed them to kind of control the tempo a little bit better against Montana State. And I'm really impressed with the depth of this roster that Archie Miller has put together. I even remarked to some people yesterday, there's not a lot of dead weight on this roster. Every time a guy comes in, a scholarship guy comes in, he's going to be able to contribute something. Even Clifton Moore, who gets limited time, he still has some size. You could still see some skills there. And, this is an Indiana team that played without Al Durham yesterday, that is still working through some aches and pains. But Montana State is a step up, and they're going to have to come ready to play. And, again, that's why I really like the way Archie Miller just approached that Chicago State game. Came in, he wasn't unhappy with his team, but he immediately pointed out everything that they could clean up. And certainly it was a very nice win. It was a dominant win. They won the way they should have. But there's plenty for that coaching staff to polish up.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com. Ken, Duke, who can play with those guys? Wow.
Oh, they were impressive. They've been fun to watch. And so that's going to be something to see. Now, it's the first game of the year. So is that a situation where, they just were hyped, had a big opponent, and wanted to make a statement? But, boy, that looks like a very, very strong team. And it's going to be fun to watch because, there's a lot of talent up at the top of the basketball world. And, Duke looks pretty, pretty tough.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, filling in for Jeff Rabjohns. Ken, it's always great when we get the opportunity to chat. Thanks for what you do. Also, Ken hosts the Pigs podcast at Pigs.com, which is a great audio resource if you want to follow IU basketball and football as well as that season continues. Keep up the great work, Ken. See you soon. Thanks for coming on with us today.
I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. We will head to a commercial break. We'll come back in our final segment with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll wrap up high school football very quickly. I want to get to some high school basketball stuff as well as we celebrate the start of the basketball season. It only gets better and better from here once it gets going. We'll be a couple weeks down the road, and we'll be getting into some of the bigger IU games, and high school ball will be here then as well. It will be a lot of fun. Also, thinking ahead to about Duke, don't forget Indiana is at Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium later this month. So not only does IU have the game coming up next Wednesday against Marquette, but they've got a road game at Arkansas. They've got a road game at Duke all in the month of December, and that's, of course, before a challenging December close to the non-conference portion of the schedule and an earlier start for the second year of Big Ten Conference play in December as well. So, again, when I say it gets going and it gets fast and furious, once it finally gets going, that's exactly what's going to happen. We got a lot of fun nights of college basketball and a lot of fun discussions to recap it all and preview it as well right here on the program. Stay with us. Greg is next. Southern Indiana sports headlines, some local stuff, some high school stuff will be our primary topics. We'll do all of that next right here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Greg is with us on Wednesdays. We talk local sports headlines, and we're getting in, as I've said, probably too much, the high school basketball season, which will be another fun topic for Greg and I to discuss. We're going to try to get to a little high school basketball in this segment, but first, Greg, I want to talk about something, and I didn't mention this when it happened, when it first came across the News and Tribune website, but I want to go back and give you an opportunity to make a couple words about it because we don't cover sports probably as closely as we should outside of some of the major, especially high school sports. But we lost a very important person to the high school sports community last week. That was Daryl Kingery, Silver Creek High School's cross-country coach. He's been very involved in that sport, not just at Silver Creek High School, but other schools and in many different ways in Southern Indiana. He was tragically lost last week while on his bicycle in an accident. And I know that that is a hole for the Silver Creek athletic community and a hole for the high school sports community in our area.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was, you know, he's one of the good ones. There's no doubt about it. That's how you last 40 years in high school coaching, is by being one of the good ones. Not only was he a successful track coach, you know, he ended Jeff's 43-year sectional winning streak after moving over to Silver Creek from Clarksville. And quite an accomplished guy, but also a guy you always look forward to seeing every year, every spring. Getting out to a meet and seeing him was always a nice thing, or going out in the fall. He was just one of those guys, and it just was so sudden that happened that way, and very tragic. And it's going to be a weird spring without seeing Darryl Kingery out at the track.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that, should have mentioned it last week, but our thoughts and prayers obviously with his family and the Silver Creek cross-country program and athletics community as a whole. A big loss, not just for Silver Creek, but for our area as well. Greg, let's put a wrap on the high school football season. Providence on Friday night, so close to getting a sectional crown for the second year in a row. They were the only team playing on sectional championship Friday. Overall, a good season with some very interesting moments. I felt like we had some programs in the area take some steps forward. There were some puzzling moments, some head-scratching moments at time as well when you looked at some of the different scores or teams that maybe started hot and didn't finish near as hot as what you thought they might. But nonetheless, high school football for our area is in the books for this season.
Yeah, well, first of all, I underestimated Paoli all season, clearly. I thought Providence was going to be the class of that sectional. Then I saw that what they did against Mitchell in the semifinal round. And suddenly, I gained some respect for Paoli and thought that might be end up being a pretty close game. And, man, was that a thriller. That was the kind of sectional championship you hope for when you're covering or you're broadcasting it. And, you know, now I like Paoli's chances against Southridge. So Jeremy Lowry clearly has done a great job there at Paoli. And, I know Southridge is the defending state champions, but I like Paoli's chances. As far as the season went, you know, no sectional championships. That's been the norm around here for a while. But on the other hand, a lot of programs took some really good steps forward, I thought. And I think we'll see some teams starting next year, some programs starting next year, really compete for the for some sectional championships and conference championships, hopefully even some regional and semi-state championships. So, you know, you look at what people have coming back and how young some of the teams were, and it's, you know, no doubt that it's going to be better than it was this year, I think, in the next couple of years.
Greg Mangeld, sports editor of the News and Tribune, with us. Greg is with us on Wednesdays. Don't forget a lot of the things we talk about. You could also read more about at newsandtribune.com/sports. Again, newsandtribune.com/sports, and you can follow Greg and all the sports writers and the events they cover here in Clark and Floyd counties at News Trib Scores on Twitter. Greg, I want to talk high school basketball. I'm always itching to get that going and itching to get that discussion going with you as well. We've previewed it lightly over the last week or two. Some differences this season overall. Number one, we don't have Romeo Lankford, a standout of that level in the senior class. And, of course, a lot of people call him a once-in-a-lifetime or a once-in-a-generational type player. I think that that is true, and we'll find that to be true as high school basketball rolls along here over the next number of years. And for those that maybe didn't appreciate or don't appreciate what he did, I think we will, as we realize that few and far between are players like Romeo Langford. That said, I think last time we spoke, it's been a couple weeks, you gave your thoughts on some of the top players in the area that you were excited to watch and excited to follow once the season got here. Today I'd like to talk a little bit about teams, some of the teams in Clark and Floyd County that you are most interested in following this upcoming season when the games officially tip here. We're about 2 weeks or just under 2 weeks from the start of some games.
Yeah, it's going to, I think, be more about the teams than it is about the individuals this year. Not that Romeo was trying to take the spotlight to himself, but it was naturally drawn to him. So, yeah, I think this year will be about which is the best team around, and that's going to be a good question in 4A and in the Hoosier Hills Conference. I bet if you asked 99 people, you might get 33 for Jeff, 33 for New Albany, and 33 for Floyd. I think it's that close. You know, the jump that Kobe Barnes apparently had in the offseason in his performance, maybe you like Floyd, you know, the couple of really great players at Jeff and then New Albany, you kind of look at it and you think, well, what do they become now that they don't have to have everything be about Romeo? So it's going to be a very interesting conference, and especially sectional season. But then you look at some other teams, and Silver Creek, I think, is the team that, I think we've talked about this a couple of times, but that's the team that makes you say, we might have ourselves a state champion this year. So, you know, no Romeo. I think you're right that we will miss him. But there are plenty of other storylines, plenty of other great players, plenty of good teams. So I think it's going to be quite a good winter as far as boys basketball is concerned.
And there are some big games, and this is each and every year to open up the season, that kind of set the scene. Floyd Central takes on Christian Academy, and Christian Academy, I think, in their respective class will be really good, not just this year, but for the next couple seasons as well. Then early for New Albany, they open with Bloomington South on Saturday night right after the Thanksgiving holiday. Jeffersonville gets going right away with some good games over their first couple games as well. And it's not too far into the year that you have New Albany and Floyd Central, which again is going to be, I think, that early season matchup, a telltale sign to what maybe to expect in the Hoosier Hills Conference, and give you an early gauge on where both teams are at, and better yet, where the area is at as far as fans coming out and continuing the support that we hope exists. I did run into, along those lines, I want to give you a chance to kind of talk on that, but along those lines, Greg, I did see Don Unruh, the athletic director at New Albany the other day, and he mentioned that season ticket sales, obviously not as strong as what they were for Romeo's junior and senior year, but still some big gains in that for if you look at pre-Romeo time at New Albany, which is encouraging to know that a lot of fans maybe that came out for those games to see Romeo and to kind of get caught up in all the madness that was going on, and the New Albany team with the talent they played and some of the exceptional opponents they played as well, that they liked what they saw. And high school basketball for that $5 ticket is quite a bargain, quite an atmosphere on a Friday night after a long week of work. And it sounds like, and we hope that not just for New Albany, but for the area, for the big games, for all the games, that the fans that really seem to come out and support things even early in the year last year continue to give it a try again this season.
Yeah, well, Hoosier Hysteria was around a lot a long time before Romeo Langford was, so there's no reason to abandon basketball just because Romeo's now at IU. So all those people who were there last year, they have no excuse to not be there this year. I mean, New Albany, I don't think there's any question, is going to be one of the top, 15 teams in 4A at the very, at the worst. You're talking about a team that's going to be, you know, a team that has a chance to win a sectional and a regional, and who knows? Not to mention that, like you said, the competition that they play, some of the best players in Indiana will be coming around again, and you know, including their rival Floyd with Kobe Barnes, and over at Jeff with Trey Coleman. There's plenty of great basketball to be seen. There's no reason to quit going to high school basketball games just because one guy is now in college. So that would be disappointing if the drop off was that fierce. But we'll see. I really hope that the attendance stays up high, and I expect it to. You know, especially this season, it's going to be. You know, we kind of knew that New Albany was going to be a state championship contender the last 4 years. Man, there's a lot to learn this year about what these teams have. So I think it's going to be a fun season coming up.
Yeah, probably the most work. Not that you've never not done the work or never not had good high school preview content, but probably from your perspective, even our perspective, in interviewing the coaches and talking about it each day, probably a season where we got to dig a little bit. We know some of the storylines, mm-hmm. we know some of the players, but there's some unknown out there, which obviously will make this season a fun one as well. Greg, thanks for the chat. Always good to catch up. Hard to believe high school football's over. Hard to believe high school basketball, at least on the girls' side, it's begun. The boys' side will be here very soon as far as scrimmages and games go, and look forward to having you on with us each week to talk about basketball just as we've done all the other sports.
No doubt, Matt. I'm not afraid to say this is my favorite time of year, so yeah. Looking forward to the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, if anybody listens to this show at all, they know I am in full agreement with you. Then when basketball season is here, things just seem to go a little smoother. So, Greg, thank you. We'll do it again next week. And thanks for listening as well. That's going to wrap up this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget my daily reminder about podcasts. We get more and more podcast listens, it seems, each month that goes by. If you miss a full show, if you miss a segment, you want to go back and hear something, the two easiest ways to accomplish that are from SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts. Both of those are free. You can download both of them at no charge. You can get the podcast for free as well. Also on SoundCloud, you can just simply point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. It's an easy way to keep up with what's going on the program and catch us each day here on the radio. If you can't do that, the podcast always available to you as well. Thanks again for being with us. We'll return on Thursday at 11 a.m. Alex Bozich will join me. Also on Thursday, we'll continue our preview of high school basketball for the 18-19 season. Over the next handful of Thursdays, we'll have area coaches joining us to talk about their teams, how practices are going, and of course, getting ready for the start of the season. Have a great Wednesday. We'll be back with you tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison right here on the Big X Sports Radio.